Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I have a lot of scripture to review today, so let's get started. And obviously the reason comes from an event from yesterday, and may I give you a quote from yesterday? This is the woman I love and adore.
And Ms. Klebowski, did you wish to make a statement with regard to the issue at hand today, ma'am?
I just wanted to thank the court that you have my back as far as looking at the needs of my children and John's responsibility as their father.
What you heard is my wife saying she turned to the court looking that they have her back. I will be reminding you of Proverbs 1984, but there's a couple examples I thought it's worth noting. You know, a couple of obvious ones. One is the passage about Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18 and 19, where there was a bit of a siege, and the overwhelming army comes, and Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord because the prophet Isaiah told him, trust the Lord. And, you know, what happens, it's not that they built an army, that they put up a whole bunch of defenses and whatnot. They didn't trust in new weapons or made alliances or things of that nature. Okay, starting in verse 33. This is the LSV. In the way that he comes in, in it he turns back, and to this city he does not come in, a declaration of Yahweh. And I have covered over this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. So, you know, that is a preference. This is, you know, again, the word from God through the prophet Isaiah. And it continues. And it comes to pass in that night, so this was not over the period of weeks or months or years, in that night, that a messenger of Yahweh goes out and strikes 185,000 in the camp of Asher, and they rise early in the morning, and behold, all of them are dead corpses. It goes on about, but anyway, so 185,000 die. This is a big deal. This is a rather big deal. Why? Because they prepared well their defenses and so forth? No. They trust in the Lord. You know, again, there was all the people sitting in the wall and they were told to keep silent. Because our trust is in the Lord. And that is Isaiah told Hezekiah. There's also the Daniel 3 example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Rakshak and Beni. For example, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have answered, indeed, they are saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need concerning this matter to answer you. Again, I'm reading the LSV. The thing I find fascinating about that, the state comes against you. You have no reason to defend it yourselves. You don't have a need to do that. Your trust is in the Lord. And if the Lord's not going to help you, you have no hope. The way you, and it's not the kind of thing of, using the Daniel 3 example, it's not, well, okay, but it looks like it's really bad, so I'll have to compromise somehow. They didn't compromise at all. They got thrown in the furnace, right? The interesting thing about it, they were thrown in the furnace, verse 25, and he answered and said, behold, I am seeing four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like to a son of the gods. So Obviously, the implication would be, and I think it's reasonable to assume, Rackshack and Benny and Jesus Christ. And, you know, when they come out, there was no hint of smoke smell and whatnot on them. Why? Because that fourth person in the fire had authority over the fire. That, I would suggest, is a rather big deal. But go on. Let's go on to something else. I will leave in the email today, and on the web. I did a simple search just to give you some examples. There are many places, but the obvious place is the Book of Psalms. And just simply look for the word trust. And in this case, I did the ESV. Okay, and you'll find. The bulk of the cases, it's a trust that this is a good thing, or you're trusting in the wrong thing. So let me review them semi-quickly. Psalm 4, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 9, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He doesn't abandon you. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in the aircraft carriers and nuclear missiles and the government. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. And, you know, I think this is interesting. You made me. It's the Lord's sovereign gift to give us a trust in him. Psalm 25, oh my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Psalm 31, I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. Worthless idols. Well, you know, that we just read about, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and his rather large idol that we said to bow down to. May I suggest, you know, one of the things I pointed out before is my understanding is this, it's an Asherah pole in the middle of the Vatican. You know, that big square, they have this pole. It is an Asherah pole. Apparently, it was actually brought from Egypt and put there. But, you know, we're Americans. We need something bigger. So we have our own Asherah pole. It's called the Washington Monument. That is indeed an Asherah pole. It is an occult symbol. It really is. And you want to bow down to that? No, my trust is in the Lord, not the state. Psalm 25, oh my God, I trust you. Let me not be put to shame. Let my enemies exalt over me. I just read that. Okay. And I just read 31. Later in 31. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Later, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Psalm 31 has a lot on this trust. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. When you find somebody else who is faithful, I think, you know, there is faithfulness that we need to do individually towards God. And I would contend that our encouragement must be to, well, we should encourage others who are doing the same, which I would suggest is the parakaleia, to call near, to encourage. And when you find somebody else who is faithful, and if you're faithful, you do the sum parakaleia, you mutually encourage. It's a marvelous idea. 37, and commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Not you, not the state, not the big corporation, not the military-industrial complex. The Lord, again, we saw the Second Kings and Hezekiah. 185,000 overnight, kind of like, ooh, that was a big deal. Psalm 40, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Our trust in the Lord. 40, the next verse, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. This is actually Psalm 44. Not in my own personal armaments or my state's military, whatnot. It's the Lord who does these things. Psalm 49. Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. I read that and looked in that context. This is not a good thing. You trust in your wealth. Again, it was consistent with the idea, I would contend, you cannot serve God and wealth. You put your trust in wealth, your retirement plan, your 401k to protect you. No, I trust the Lord. 52. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I don't trust in stuff. I trust in the Lord. 55. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half of their days, but I will trust in you. So again, context, people, men of treachery, people are doing foul things, and you say, well, I'm a little nervous here. No, I will trust in you. 56. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And I would suggest an important aspect of that. We are not perfect. Fear does come upon us. But our trust still in our fear needs to be of the Lord. That verse continues. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? And we see that echoed in the Gospels. What can man do to me? It's the same idea. 56. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Didn't we just hear that? It's the same idea. Our trust, and again, we'll get to that about the fear of the Lord. It's I don't fear man. I fear the Lord. 62. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart. Lord, I'm struggling. You pour your heart out to him. You're honest with him. Oh, Lord, my trust is so great, and I don't fear all this. No, Lord, help. I'm scared. You turn to him, and he gives you strength. I will testify to this. 62, 10. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. No trust in extortion. I would contend this gets to the whole thing. A lot of the fundamentals for shofar leaks. Because you put your trust in a collective, your collective does extortion in various forms. This is the common purse we see in Proverbs 1. I would suggest this is the same sentiment. 71. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Our trust for you are my hope and my trust. 78. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. This is the negative context where we don't trust him. No, that's not a good idea. We need to trust him. Psalm 91. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Not my bank account, not my sidearm, not my armored vehicle, my Lord. Psalm 115, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. This is reference to idols. Context here. Not to us, Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory, for your kindness, for your truth. Why do the nations say, where, pray, is their God? and our God is in the heavens, and that he has pleased, all that he has pleased, he has done. Their idols are of silver and gold, the work of man's hands. So that's the context. We trust in the Lord, though their idols, you know, again, gets to the Acts 19, the idols of gold, you know. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is Artemis of the Americans. Who said that anyway? Those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. This is all of Psalm 115. Don't look to the idols of man. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 118. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. And, you know, I have to both take, you know, what it says, and yeah, I have to distort it a bit, because those who trust in princes, you know, my friend, Chris Prince, you know what I mean? He's my friend, he's my brother. I celebrate with him, and we laugh a bit. But anyway, Psalm 119, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. In your word. Oh, the word. What am I reading? His word. Anyway. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. It's not because I have a firm foundation that I have set up. It's because my trust is in the Lord. He is my firm foundation. He set that up. Psalm 135, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Again, the same kind of context as 115. 143, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me known the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. My focus, again, my trust is in Christ, my Lord, my Creator. And again, one that, anyway, Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man whom there is no salvation. It's the Son of God we put our trust in. And again, I give my friend a hard time because I'm just that way. But a while back, actually it was 2018. A while back, one of us, it was me, did Proverbs 1984. And I have it right here in front of me, but I don't need to look at it. Trust in the state with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge it, and it will keep a boot stamping on a human face forever. This is exactly what my wife is doing. When you look to the state, the court, and they've got your back, you're trusting with all your heart in the state. My lady, please repent. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Proverbs 1984, is a twist of, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or he will make your straight your paths, whatever. When I did that video, and of course I had the veggie tie on, which I don't have right now. I still do have it, but anyway. Then I read a passage from 1984 where I got this. But let me read just that last part, because I think it's insightful. There's I've seen people that have a T-shirt, something about it's a picture of George Orwell, something like "I nailed it, didn't I?" or something of that nature, because he did in so many ways. It is virtually prophetic. Again, 1984 was printed. Was written and finished in 1948. And what he did is he swapped the last 2 years of the date, the last two digits of the date of the year, blah, 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 in order to come up with a title. And it was, I think, extremely insightful. But you know, the main characters is Winston and O'Brien. Winston is the guy who was the, you know, basically the antagonist towards the state, but then he ends after being tortured with, you know, the closing line is, "I love Big Brother." He lost. So it was not a good conclusion for him. O'Brien is the gentleman who is high up in the state. And, you know, during the last part of the story, O'Brien is in room 101. And apparently room 101, where he got that idea is that when he worked for the BBC, and he had an office, room 101. And so, you know, when Winston says, what's in room 101? It's the torture chamber. That's so he uses office for that number anyway. But near the end of the story, Winston is being tortured by O'Brien. And then there's some dialogue, but it concludes with, you know, after the the state wins, there'll be no loyalty except loyalty towards the party. There'll be no love except the love of Big Brother. There'll be no laughter except the laugh of triumph over a defeated enemy. There'll be no art, no literature, no science. When we're omnipotent, we shall have no more need of science. There'll be no distinction between beauty and ugliness. There'll be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. So just from that part, think about the direction that we're headed today, because we're looking at the creature rather than the creator. That'd be Romans 1. Our focus is toward the party, the state, our collective. And of course, we need to love the collective. No laughter except the triumph over defeated enemy. You know, the idea where we get joy and triumph from sports. You know, again, I do think the important thing I find about sports is the sports that we see that are shown as somewhat noble in the Bible are things like running, where you're going to a common goal. There is the passage about boxing in the wind. It's kind of useless. And what do we do now? Most of our sports, football and so forth, we try to boxing. We try to defeat the enemy. As opposed to, and this is where I think the track and field kind of thing has such an advantage, because it's strength against strength, which we see modeled in Genesis 42 or 32. Where Jacob wrestles with God, strength against strength. And rather than I'm trying to defeat you, because it was wrestling, not boxing. It's an important point. Excuse me. No art, no literature, no art. Look at the deranged art we call art today. We want obscenity, not beauty in what we do. We want to be vulgar. No literature, no science. The ability to speak in eloquent words has moved to, I want to use swear words. I want to use ugly language, and that makes me popular. No science. That's why we trust the science. No, we trust the scientists. Because science would be the knowledge of something. Look at the evidence. We don't do that. We look at authority. When it says we'll have no more need of science. No, we don't need science, because we simply impose. That's exactly what we see in COVID-19. we impose. There's no evidence. It's imposition. there'll be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. But always, do not forget this, Winston, always there will be the intoxicating power, constantly increasing and constantly growing subtler. Always, at every moment, there'll be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. Think about that. Do you see that? Do you see that? And, you know, the last line. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. And one of the things that has been commented on by many, and I've said it myself, the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. It's a round building, kind of a tower, but the way the base of it on one side, it kind of goes out on one side only. So it gives a subtle implication of a boot. And it's in Basel, Switzerland. And so you have this tower in Basel, Switzerland, often called the Tower of Babel. because, you know, obviously play on words there, but it's also a boot. And what is it? It is the world financial headquarters. And again, the irony, you know, it's poetic. The guy that runs it, I forget his name. This man is not just slightly obese. He is extremely obese. I don't think he's 300 pounds. I think he's well north of that. I mean, this guy's huge. I mean, the image of the fat banker, that's him. And he's at the top of the Bank of International Settlements, who the Federal Reserve submits to. Anyway, there's a difference between trusting the Lord and trusting the state. One of the things I did when I did my Proverbs 1984, I did add a close, and I'm going to read that too, Philippians 4, because I think it moves the focus from the trust in the state and gives you why, when you trust in the Lord, what is the real life benefits now? Yes, you might have the situation where you're Rack, Shack, and Benny and you go through the fiery furnace. You might have some very difficult situations, but you also have Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why will the God of peace be with you? Because you trust in him. My purpose today, I listened to my wife thank the state for having her back. I'm sorry, my wife, repent, please. If there's anyone on this planet I want to see turn their trust to the Lord, not the state, it's my wife. Beyond question, beyond anyone else, it's my wife. I love that lady. And when I heard those words, it hurts. My lady, my wife, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. and he will make your path straight. Make straight your paths, whatever. Our trust is in the Lord. And what does he give us? Fear? Oh no! Life is hard. What do I do? A peace that surpasses all understanding. I have done some dumb things in my life. My trust in my Lord has not been full and complete. One of the things he grants you when he crushes you thoroughly is he grants you, some people, he's granted me, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I have done a lot of things in the last many years that I wouldn't have done in years past. Because I have no need to turn to the state, to the corporation, to my own ability. My trust is in the Lord. And he has shown his grace to me magnificently. I want to encourage others to trust in the Lord. I want to encourage my wife to trust in the Lord. I want to encourage people who I love dearly. Eric Lee, Brent, Leo, Jack, Tirza, Julia, Isaac, Charlotte, James, George, Susanna, Gloria Jane, Walter, and Zadok. And I understand a whole bunch of those people deny Christ, spit in his face, and so forth. But again, I see so many stories of people doing exactly that in the Bible. And the Lord says, you're mine. That is the 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you're washed by yourself. No, by the Spirit of our God. God doesn't. So I don't give up hope on any of my kids or my wife. My wife is showing trust in the state. Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife. Trust in the Lord. Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife. Trust in the Lord, please. When I did the Proverbs 1984 video, you'll see, I'll use the photo. I had a copy of Foreign Affairs from the fall of 1984. $4.95. It's a lot more money now. And I don't know if they even do a printed version. Foreign Affairs is the publication of the Council on Foreign Relations. I have read some of their stuff. I've actually read some of the articles. I think I read an article even in this particular one. I have a stack of them. I got it from a library that was getting rid of some stuff. So I got a bunch of Foreign Affairs magazines. And I specifically used the one from 1984. Because if you want an idea about trusting in the state, in 1984, Foreign Affairs is trusting the state. I have mentioned previously, because I used to watch occasionally watch the Council on Foreign Relations meetings. Because, I mean, wow, these people trust in the state because they are the state. And I remember the one woman I saw who asked a question, and it was clear. She asked a question that put the people they had to answer a difficult question. And it was kind of like, you should not ask that question in this context, and you're toast. Because you don't ask those things, because you don't put these people under pressure. It's like, you know, how do you get ahead in the news media? You don't ask the wrong questions. You ask the questions to make the speaker look good. That's why you chastise those who don't allow you to look good, such as, you know, Julian Assange, obviously, and so many others. There's a bunch of others. They haven't made as much of a splash, but there's a bunch of others, you know, anyway, I won't go through them. But there are a bunch of others that have done that and haven't made quite. And again, the issue really is, I'm long. Let me read the two versions. Proverbs 19:84. Trust in the state with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge it, and it will keep a boot stamping on a human face forever. Proverbs 19:84. What my wife said is basically that. When she looked, said to the state, thank you for guarding my back, whatever she said. Watching my back, whatever it was. My hope, because she knows, she still has a Bible, I think. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, I might get it wrong, but my trust is the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's not the state that does it. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Everything I do, it's the Lord, because it's his grace to me. And he will make straight your paths. In my acknowledgement of him, in my trust in him, it's not because I have learned something and therefore I'm smart and brilliant and do wonderful things. He, by his power, because of my trust in him, makes my path straight. He guides me. Not my wisdom, my trust in him. And my trust in him is his gift to me. I didn't earn it. My wife, the lady I love and adore. It's not the state that has got your back. The state will crush you when you trust them. The obvious example. You know, there was a few things that I didn't do much on in reference to the medical things I did, medical software and so forth, the companies I worked for. You know, especially one of the ones in Birmingham, because I remember a dialogue with the recruiter, and it was kind of like, they want you to waste time. And that man was a Christian. That's kind of normal, it seems. Because I wanted to do a good job and I was struggling. That happened more than once. But then, of course, the big event, the West Star thing. I didn't fall in line with the state, because that's what it was. The U.S. military is part of the state. A defense contractor is basically part of the U.S. military. You do not embarrass them. You do not show any fallacy that they may be doing. You do not point out a problem with them. They will crush you. And they did. But not completely. And my concern, again, that example, the one, I forget the guy's name, in Birmingham, the Christian recruiter. Yeah, well, you know, anyway. Or obviously, again, it took me years to figure this out. The leadership of the church we were members at, the leadership themselves or their associates trained the people that did this. Killed the Good Samaritan, Mr. Tamal. That's not trusting in the Lord. I'm sorry, that's not trusting in the Lord. That's why I will contend. They were quiet about what happened at West Star. Because if you point out these things, they're going to crush you. Because I've seen this, not only myself, with so many other people. Again, it's the major, the mid-level, and the minor stuff. I was mid-level. Been around major, see minor stuff all the time. This is my focus with Shofar Leagues. To be a blessing to somebody. Handful of people. It's worth my time. Because for some people, it may save them a few bucks. it may save them their lives. And maybe, because, again, to use the same technology for reconciliation, and I intend to experiment that with that myself. My lady, my wife, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Find that peace. It's not found in having the state watch your back. My lady, 1 Corinthians 7:11. Please. I love you and I want you back.